This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Tuesday, February 28th.
It's a big day.
The last day of February.
That's true.
It's a big day.
Yeah. Is it a leap year next year? Are we on?
No one knows.
No one tracks that?
No one pays attention.
Someone just tells you when it's February 29th.
What's it, every four? So this sounds about right. It should be next year.
2024.
Yeah. Home, yes. Nice.
Exciting.
One extra day. Welcome in, Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers. The Deucers are, well, they're deucing. They're all here today.
I got to start planning my party, my leap year party. You guys want to go?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When is it?
Next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All Deucers will
no,
be there.
No, they're not
invited.
No.
Brooks
cool
in the
people
house.
Only.
The Borgogan is here.
We don't participate in leap years, so.
Oh,
It's a hard stance from Brooks.
Brooks finally has a real hardcore stance here.
It's rough because, I mean, you have to commit, and then you're just a day off compared to everybody else. And you're like, it's March 1st. You're like, no, it's February 29th.
You're
no,
saying he doesn't actually even accept it as a day.
He does not recognize it. Brooks,
so he's a day off the entire year.
It's actually March 8th in Brooks' world.
Wow.
From all the
history.
From all the leap years that he has skipped.
That was some quick... That was close enough math.
A total guess.
Yeah. Welcome in. Welcome into the show. Happy to have you here. NFL news to talk about. We're going through the coaching changes. We do this every year. To be honest with you, it is important information. So if it sounds like hearing a bunch of coaching changes is not that exciting, it's pretty informative on how you can expect teams to progress. And to me, it's even more informative when you look at the history of coaching changes from the year prior and the outcomes, because we are a rose-colored glasses type of community, fantasy football players. And it's easy to take every coaching change that happens, because we do it every year, and just look at how it can help.
Right.
But when you reflect...
Sometimes it's Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah. Yeah, we had two of them fired this year. First-timers from last year's show, and some insights that we want to share with you. So we'll do that momentarily. We do have kind of a big deal announcement.
That's why I said it's a big day. This is really what I was talking about.
I mean, it's so big that Mike will do the trumpet live.
That was a good one.
Got a little raspy.
That was good. The 2023 Ultimate Draft Kit. This is your last opportunity to be entered to win a Listener League spot. You have to order it by March 1st, and you'll have a chance to win a Listener League spot. You'll get it at the lowest possible price. You'll get $15 in gift cards. You get a free copy of our book, a digital copy of our book, and the UDK, it's ready to go. You can get in there and start doing your research. The rookie fever, it's beginning right here, right now. We've got the combine just days away.
Yeah, with the combine coming, we're going to
end up having another release of the UDK Plus. More information is going to be coming, but obviously right now all the rookie information is there. The Ultimate Draft Kit, it's a great resource for playing fantasy. It's good poop time. It's just
Whoa.
I'm just saying when you're on that toilet.
Wait, you mean like you'd be on the phone?
I'm saying you will enjoy your healthy movements more with the Ultimate Draft Kit.
Some movement in your rankings as well.
That's right. That's right. Adjustment to becoming a winner.
Things far more solid, guaranteed.
Yeah, solid
advice.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
As the Borgogan just typed, bring the desktop in the bathroom with you.
You don't have to anymore.
Oh, that wasn't a sales pitch thing?
You can if you want to.
You're just saying you can literally bring your desktop in there.
It works on the desktop, too.
You got your desktop in the bathroom there, Kyle.
I don't, but I could.
I've installed a toilet at my computer office.
Yeah, that's where I was.
That's just what I sit on my normal going experience.
That would help you.
Yeah.
We lose a
Most
lot
of the time
of,
I got my shorts
we
on
lose
when
a
I'm working.
A lot of Jason in the afternoons, yeah. If I'm honest. There's a certain time period.
He loves the UDK.
So how do they find the Ultimate Draft Kit?
They go to ultimatedraftkit.com.
Oh, wow.
It's
cool.
Very, very easy. Check it out. Again, this is you've got a day left, you procrastinators. Get in there now, ultimatedraftkit.com, and you will be automatically entered into a chance to play with us in the Listener League for this upcoming season.
And Brooksy, when will we announce the winner?
We'll do that next Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to get a lay of the land. Quick question. We're hopping into the wishing well. So peaceful.
The wishing well.
Yes. Here we go. What do you want to happen in free agency during this offseason? We will be doing a full free agency preview predictions next week, but this is the wishing well. This is...
It's time to be selfish.
It's time to be selfish. Yeah. What do you want to see happen this offseason that'll get you?
People aren't stopping by the fountain at the mall, flinging a quarter and going... World peace.
No. Wait, we're up to a quarter now at these wishing wells?
Oh, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Inflation's.
What do you... Hold on. What coin are you...
I thought that was just the time that... I thought that was the last use for pennies.
No, you throw a penny into
a fountain.
The fountain throws those back.
So pennies into garbage cans.
Yes.
Quarters into fountains.
This is
Got
why
it.
your dreams aren't coming true, Jay. It's because you're a cheapskate with the wishing well.
He's throwing in like 25 different pennies hoping that he gets 25 things answered and you need a quarter.
Then the well has to roll them all up, take them to the bank, and exchange. Give it the quarter, man. It's ridiculous.
So what is your wishing well item?
I will hop in here selfishly and say that my hope is that the Cincinnati Bengals, who are going to, you know, be coming up against some cap issues, I want them to relieve their cap issues just a little bit. I would like to see them release Joe Mixon.
Okay.
It's been rumored.
And sign no other running back whatsoever.
Just ride dirty into the
ride
draft.
Ride dirty into the draft. Because, I don't know, I think that would be my favorite landing spot for one Bijan Robinson. That would be my dream come true from the wishing well. I'll put 50 cents in there on that.
Two
tosses. Quarters. Yeah.
Here's the thing. The Mixon being cut could definitely happen. I think P. Ryan's also not under contract.
Correct.
So they could, as you said, as Jason Moore said, ride dirty heading into the draft.
Now, they have pick 28, so...
That's what I was going to ask
you. I doubt that he makes it that far,
might.
This is a time for dreaming.
Okay. Mike, what are you thinking up in that brain of yours when you toss the quarter into the wishing well?
So it is selfish season. I have had Alexander Mattison on my dynasty squad since day one. It's come in handy a few times, like whenever, you know, Dalvin Cook is out, Alexander Mattison... Not every time, but the most of the time, Madison, when Dalvin Cook has missed time, Madison's been great for fantasy football.
You're a believer.
I think he is good. I'm not saying that he's an elite player, but I think that he is a good running back. And should he end up on the Denver Broncos, we had another news blurb again today just confirming that Javonte Williams, it was a really bad injury, and he's probably going to miss time, and Sean Payton does magical things with fantasy running backs. So Alexander Mattison, I would love to see him become a Denver Bronco.
Okay. I think the opportunity will be there. It will be a tough decision on where you would draft a Madison. if you knew Javonte was on his way
sure.
back.
Sure. Well, I don't have to because he's on my dino team.
Right. I think as far as offseason transactions go, this is very realistic to happen, and I think it's a great landing spot for all parties involved. Like they don't have a first-round pick. The Denver Broncos don't. So they're going to need to add a running back to this team, and they'll probably do it in free agency.
All right. My wish list includes Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr to the Jets. I think they are a very good football team. They're a quarterback away. And the reason why, well, Garrett Wilson is the reason why.
Also on my dynasty team, I would enjoy this very much.
He is so good at football. I want this simulation to get played out. I want Garrett Wilson to have the opportunity with a play caller and a quarterback that can, you know, put him into the best situation possible to succeed. It will mean huge things for fantasy. And that's why I have an or there. It doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers to me. It just can't be Zach Wilson. And I don't think it can be Mike White either.
It can't. I was going to say, are you okay if it ends up being Mike White?
No, Mike White would be fine in the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick was fine, which was mostly fine, but sometimes you're freaked out of your mind.
Sure.
And maybe Derek Carr would be in that boat too. I don't know. The one thing I'll say about Derek Carr is, did you see his contract request?
I have not.
He's looking at like $35 million a year. That's what he's wanting.
That's low.
That seems reasonable.
That seems reasonable to me. So he is, I think.
Daniel Jones was, the rumor was 45. Okay.
So I take that as Derek Carr actually wants to be in the best spot for him. So if it ends up being the Jets, I mean, maybe it's New Orleans, maybe it's someplace else. But that seemed like a reasonable ask.
It is.
Probably because he's got plenty of other money.
Yeah. Look. You can only be so rich.
That's what they say.
Well,
and he's got a long history of a losing record, so probably doesn't help to ask for too much money.
All right, we are, yeah, got cut, obviously, just like Carson Wentz, but ooh, we'll save that for the news.
News and notes from around the league.
Did you guys hear Carson Wentz got cut?
What?
Yes, and throwback, if you've been following the show for quite some time, Jason and I, a few years back, made a time capsule bet of who is out of the league first between Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz. And this thing had, we have changed pole position. I mean, I don't even know how many times.
12 times at least in the last 3 years where it seems like my guy's going to win.
It's a certainty. It's Matt Ryan is done. Carson Wentz is good. No, well, Carson Wentz is no longer a starter. Matt Ryan just got traded. He will surely be the one.
Nope. Matt Ryan benched. Carson
Matt Ryan's
Wentz
back on top, baby.
Who threw the last pass? Or does that even matter? Is it just the first one? Can you tie here? Like if they both never took another snap?
If they both never take another snap, which I think is probable. We will talk.
Possible. But I think Matt Ryan lasted longer than Carson Wentz, did he?
Same season.
I don't know.
Same season. Injury.
We're not getting granular with this bet.
All right. Here's another quarterback related piece of news that Jason will enjoy, or we'll see. The Bucs will allow Kyle Trask to compete for the starting job. There was an original report that talked about him being their default number one starter.
That they were happy that Kyle Trask was going to be the starter, that, you know, he's going to be great. And then more recently it said, well, we're going to bring in a veteran quarterback to compete with him. Honestly, they pretty much have to. Kyle Trask has not had the opportunity or shown that he can be a star. He wasn't drafted to be a star. He was a good quarterback at, you know, for Florida. And I really liked his tape. I did. I'm excited for him to have the opportunity. I hope he wins this job. The Buccaneers do not have a ton of cap space. So as far as them going out, I'm sure they would love to go get Derek Carr, even Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know that they can afford them. So I think they're going to get kind of more a career backup type that comes in and competes. I hope Kyle Trask wins the job, and I hope he's good because I believed he was.
I've very much enjoyed just the statements of Tampa Bay Buccaneers will allow a second-round pick from 3 years ago to try and win the starting job. You took him in the second round.
I was going to ask you, if he wasn't drafted to be a star, what was he drafted to be?
He was drafted to be a potential starter in this league. I mean, that's what a second-round draft pick for a quarterback is. If you're drafting a quarterback to be a star, they don't get to the second round.
Yeah. I mean, it's still pretty high draft capital.
Yes. We do have an update. Carson Wentz threw a pass in, what was it, week 17, Kyle?
Oh.
And Matt Ryan was in week 15, so I'm glad we all agreed.
No, it's the last pass.
We all agreed. Yeah, on the record.
Not getting granular. I thought that was the case. I remember.
I forgot he came back.
Yeah, he did. Carson Wentz always comes back, which he'll probably get a backup job, and Matt Ryan will probably be out sooner. So
one can hope.
All right, Javonte Williams, the writing's been on the wall here. Yeah. We've talked about it quite a bit, but new report, ESPN's Jeff Lagwell reporting that he could be sidelined well into the 2023 season.
Yeah.
ACL, LCL. Jason, what's the last injury that he had?
The posterior lateral corner is part of
impressive
part of his injury.
Do I have a computer button?
Yeah,
I don't.
I was waiting for. Thank
there
you.
It is. Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean he got his knee jacked. That's the medical.
And we're back.
the medical term is his knee got completely jacked, and so. He'll take a while to come back. This is reminiscent of what happened to J.K. Dobbins. We saw J.K. Dobbins saying, oh, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready week one. He wasn't ready week one. When he came back, he wasn't ready. You saw some flashes towards the end of the season, but it took long time.
We saw one particularly strong leg.
That's right.
Yeah, the superhuman leg, and then the leg that was not able to keep up.
He got one fast leg.
He had a breakaway limp run.
Because he was literally dragging one of his legs behind. He's so strong.
It really lived up to that title because he was never hurt again.
Yeah,
like,
no.
J.K. Dobbins was never hurt. He just looked like he was dragging a bonus leg or something.
I believe the actual truth is that one of his legs, the leg that he had to have this massive recovery on, was much weaker.
Yes.
By necessity. Than his strong leg. And so that's what happens.
My strong leg.
So is it advisable to allow your other leg to become weaker to balance it?
I don't think so. I think the reason J.K. Dobbins had success was because of his one fast leg. He needs a really fast leg.
I'd be really excited at this point in my life to have one fast leg.
Yeah.
For sure. I'd like a strong arm and a fast leg.
Joking aside, the Broncos have a situation at running back. Javonte won't be, I mean, he's not going to be himself this year. I think that's a fair overarching statement.
I think so.
Javonte will not be the Javonte we've seen in 2023. And we hope he will be in 2024, but they're going to have to make arrangements at running back, whether it's a committee, whether it's a Madison through free agency. I think one single running back might end up on the roster. Chase Edmonds could get cut. So Tyler Beatty is there, and there's a chance to get that nickname back out
there. Yeah, and this is why we talked about Alexander Mattison. They don't have a lot of extra draft capital. Now, this is a really deep running back draft, so maybe they grab someone in the fifth and sixth round that they feel confident in. If a Zach Evans slides down to day three or something, that's entirely possible. But when free agency opens up, I expect the Broncos to go after a running back.
Keenan Allen not likely to be a cap casualty. That's at least the most recent report. We had their general manager talk about good players making money, and I'd rather have a lot of good players than cap space.
Kyle, how are you feeling?
I'm loving it.
I'm surprised that's not quoting Kyle on a letter he wrote to the team. But 31 years old, Keenan Allen, if he's back, he'll be valuable. And then multiple reports that Lamar Jackson is looking for a fully guaranteed contract like Deshaun Watson got.
Thanks, Cleveland.
They haven't even been close on an agreement. He did turn down, reportedly, a five-year deal worth $250 million, $133 guaranteed.
$130 guaranteed versus $230 that Watson got.
It's hard to
say. No mathematician, but that's a big difference.
Yeah, it's hard when you see that. And, you know, there's been what? Hasn't there been a report filed or a grievance filed that teams may be colluding to not give guaranteed deals with the NFLPA?
I mean, they obviously are. I don't know how you could prove that. You'd have to have actual, you know, a transcription of an email or something, but I believe this is the unspoken. All these teams do not want to enter the world of fully guaranteed contracts, so they're all kind of looking around, doing the eyeballs at each other like,
right.
I won't do it if you don't do it. The NFLPA filed a grievance claiming the NFL and its teams have colluded against its players' pursuit of fully guaranteed deals. So that was in November. They filed that.
In for a reference, Kyler Murray was about $190 million guaranteed of the 230.
This is when you have, and I think Baltimore fans would agree, Pittsburgh's been in this camp before. Like, these teams that are disciplined with their financial situation, it is a hard pill to swallow to throw that much money guaranteed at a quarterback when that's not how you've done it historically. And that's what I think you're running up against. There's a ton of teams that would have already had this deal done.
Sure.
Tons of them. You want to get, I mean, he's worthy of the deal Kyler got.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and there's probably 20, 25 teams that would have given him that. But he's running up against this Baltimore situation, and, you know, everybody thinks you can get it done without you can figure it out. But I think they're in for a rude awakening if they don't have Lamar Jackson.
The biggest hope for football fans, for fantasy football fans, is that this doesn't come down to he's on the franchise tag, and then we have a full game of chicken of does Lamar show up and play on that? Does he sit out for an entire season, which I think is in the range of outcomes should Baltimore push completely in on that direction.
Guess we know what we'll be talking about this offseason. Let's get into those coaching changes.
Coaching Carousel.
Ooh, I like my red hat.
Yeah, that was for those watching. We were all coaches in that. I mean, do you have a preferred, like, would you be a head coach, Jason, a defensive coordinator, offensive?
I would be a head coach.
Yeah.
For sure.
You can motivate a room.
Yeah, and I could delegate. I would run it CEO style.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Oh, you got to go head coach, because then it's the D coordinator, the O coordinator's fault.
For sure. You can fire them.
Yeah.
You suck.
Yeah. You're out of here.
That's smart.
Half the league took that approach this year.
I would definitely add a few assistant head coaches, because that's a thing you can do too.
Oh, then it's their fault.
Yeah, then you're set. All right. As I said, we're going to walk through the teams, the head coaching and offensive coordinator changes, things that will impact fantasy football. But I want to get a lay of the land here at the top, including reviewing the 9 head coach changes from last year, which was a lot. I mean, that was 2022 had 9 head coaching changes, 15 new offensive coordinators. This year we've got 5 new head coaches, 16.
16, that's half the league.
New offensive coordinators.
Half of the National Football League has a new person running the offense next year. So these are things you will want to be familiar with.
So last year we had 2 fire. That would be Nathaniel Hackett and Lovie Smith. They were new head coaches last year. 4 of the 9 made the playoffs. That would be Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. You had Doug Peterson with Jacksonville. You had Brian Daboll and Mike McDaniel. Right. And then you had some less than successful debuts, 3-14 for Matt Eberflus. We knew that was going to be.
Oh, yeah. That was trust the process.
And then Josh McDaniels, just 6-11. That was a huge disappointment. Dennis Allen with the Saints. I mean, I don't know.
Somehow that 7-10 feels really disappointing.
Yeah, it does, because they were like the most lukewarm team of the year. If we gave that award out, I feel like that's how I'd feel about New Orleans. You were never very high, never very low, good defense, okay, you don't win a lot.
I felt lower on them than 7-10.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they were a little cold to me.
Okay. And then, you know, Kyle pulled out the defensive head coaching hires over the last 5 years just as an interesting thing to look at, because obviously, like Arizona, they hired a defensive head coach. Here's the kind of, since 2018, the results. If you hire a defensive-minded head coach as your head coach, Mike Vrabel.
I love him.
He's great. So that one, I'm saying that right here at the top because it worked out. Not so much for Matt Patricia, Steve Wilks, Vic Fangio, Brian Flores, Matt Ja Rule, Joe Judge. Those are all fired. Ron Rivera still hasn't made the playoffs. Brandon Staley, one good year, one meh year. Robert Saleh, defense was great last year. They did not make the playoffs. Eberflus, we talked about it. Lovie Smith was fired. Dennis Allen. Will be fired at some point here soon. And then now this year, you have two more. You have D'Amico Ryans coming over from the 49ers and Jonathan Gannon for Arizona.
I honestly do believe, like, long term, if you're like, you know, zooming out at the, looking at your team, this is it's the way to go. If you're in a rebuild, hire yourself a defensive minded coach, build up that side of the ball, have it ready to go. You will fail. I mean, most head coaches fail.
From a win-loss perspective?
Yeah, you will fail because you offense is what wins. And then once the defense is set up and ready to go, then you bring in your offensive gurus and you can turn things around pretty rapidly.
I think it's certainly easier to build up a defense with a bright mind at head coach than it is to, you know, win the quarterback lottery. Because you're asking an offensive-minded head coach to come in, and if they don't have the right quarterback, which... Look, if you've been fired and you're hiring a new hire, you probably don't. Right. Don't have the right guy yet. So, little chicken or egg situation going on there. But let's start with Arizona after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew. Is that Gannon?
Yeah.
Explosives.
Sorry, I'm cringing over here. You may proceed with the Arizona Cardinals head coach.
I'm just not sure that you want to root for anybody.
I mean, I wanted to root for Sean Payton.
Cliff Kingsbury forever.
Yeah, wisely.
But what were you rooting for? Him to get fired, right?
Not in the beginning. I was rooting.
I'm saying over the last how many years have you been
at least
saying,
2 years?
Cardinals, get rid of this guy.
Yes.
Then they do it, yes. And you're right back on the negative train.
Choo choo, Jason.
Here he comes.
Look, I mean, I am hopeful that Jonathan Gannon is a good hire. The people around the Eagles organization pretty much universally love him. I know the fans are very upset with him. The fans don't universally love him, but he comes highly recommended. He's a young head coach, and he is building a team of young assistants, young offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, all people similar to how the Eagles built it, where you've got a group of similarly aged, similar families, where they could be friends, you know, in and out of the facility. They can have camaraderie.
All part of the same Call of Duty clan.
Exactly. And I read about how Gannon is trying to recreate that mold. So I don't mind the fact that he is going for it against public perception, bringing in a young Drew Petsing, bringing in inexperienced, you know, we don't have anyone with experience as a head coach, or our DC with experience as a defensive coordinator, or our OC with experience as an offensive coordinator. It is very green, but I can appreciate going for it. I am full of pessimistic hope. Does that make sense?
Pessimistic. It sounds like hope. You're trying to, yeah, both sides of the fence. Got it.
I'm hopeful.
That's what we all do.
I doubt it.
With our home teams.
Expect the worst, hope for the best.
You could just hope.
I can't do it.
Is it because the Cardinals have done this to you?
That and watching,
you can just hope.
Watching Jonathan Gannon's player interactions one-on-one making me cringe.
The Cardinals were very undisciplined as a team. Cliff Kingsbury, always one of the most penalized teams in football. Certainly time for a change.
Yeah, but they're cool.
They were 4-13. They could bring in a big pass rusher. There's a lot of rumors that the Bears are getting closer and closer to just moving the number one pick, which will, in fact, make the first two quarterbacks. And Arizona would have their pick of the litter in terms of the defensive talent in the draft. So it'll be a while yet to find out whether or not this positively impacts Kyler Murray. But when you listen to at least Jonathan Gannon talk about this offense and what Drew Petsing is good at, it's being familiar with multiple styles of offense and being flexible and willing to tailor something to your player's gifts and abilities, not your player to your scheme. That's been a problem in Arizona for a while, is you don't play players in the way that they're best suited to play. You play them in the way that you're best suited to coach. And that's one of the reasons they brought in Petsing from the Browns, is because he has familiarity with multiple systems. So it can't get much worse than 29th in yards per play. Mm-hmm. We are yet to know whether or not DeAndre Hopkins will be around still. I don't know where you guys are at on that. I still lean he'll be gone.
I do too, yeah. I think it's the right move for the Arizona Cardinals, given where they're at as a franchise and where Hopkins is at in his career. They could use capital to rebuild on the fly. I do think you're right. Not every change at coach is good, is positive, but when you're changing from the bottom, you know, 29th in yards per play, it's got very little worse that it can get.
A good way to put that, if your pants are filled with poop.
And we're back.
Doesn't really matter what pair you put on as long as they're not.
Yeah, put on a dirty pair of pants.
Sure.
Right.
Hopefully they're just not as dirty.
So looking at the Cleveland Browns, the Jacoby Brissett, you know, we had essentially weeks 1 through 12 with him. I was pleasantly surprised by Jacoby. You know that he is a backup level quarterback, but I thought that his success was surprising to me. You know, if you take his stats, see what he would have done over a 17-game pace, he was on pace for over 4,000 passing yards. He was completing 64% of his passes. His touchdown ratio to interceptions was essentially 2-1. And it's like Jacoby played very, very well. When we think of the Cleveland Browns, when I think of the Cleveland Browns, my memory kind of wipes the moment that Voldemort, a.k.a. Deshaun Watson, came in and we're like, wow, they stink. That guy is not good. And forgetting that while they weren't winning a ton of games, like they were getting the defensive side of the football was pretty rough for Cleveland last year. Jacoby was good enough, I think, that you give this Drew feller a shot to come in and see if he can help mature Kyler Murray's game.
The Panthers, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, welcome back to the league. Jeff Saturday, not hired this offseason, Mike. I don't know if you knew that. Is that?
I am surprised.
He's still available for Carolina if midseason things aren't going
well. There are many men who need to be led.
Yes. Frank Reich taking over for Ja Rule and Steve Wilks. Thomas Brown taking over for Ben McAdoo. I'm so shocked that didn't work. Carolina last year, 23rd in pace of play, 20th in points per game, 29th in yards, 29th in pass attempts, and yet really battled their way. Like, you look at their season at 7-10 versus the Saints 7-10 season.
Sure.
The Panthers traded McCaffrey away and seemingly outworked their opponents. The offensive line, you know, they are a quarterback away, I think, from really being able to take this division.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Reich.
Well, the division's bad. But.
Yeah, we talk about it, and it's very easy and obvious to say this, but it's true. If your quarterback is bad, your coaches seem like they're not that great. If your quarterback is great, your coaches are better. the truth for Frank Reich is he's had a hodgepodge of veteran quarterbacks over and over and over, and he's been pretty good with them. It did not work out this last year with Matt Ryan, and I believe he got jobbed. We don't know the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. It seems like they're going to try to trade up, get someone great, sure. Someone hopefully great as a rookie.
Carson Wentz was also another in the long line of Frank Reich after Andrew Luck stories.
I thought you were saying they're going to maybe they'll look at bringing Carson Wentz down to Carolina.
Yeah, that would be.
Let bygones be bygones, Carson. Let's win some games.
Yeah, that would not happen. But my point is, I believe he's a good coach for a new young quarterback. He was great with Andrew Luck, and if they go and draft a new quarterback, this looks to me like a better situation for a quarterback to develop in than just your average situation.
I know that there'll be a time and place to talk through all the rookies, but do you guys have strong convictions one way or the other about Anthony Richardson? Because I do. I'm starting to get pretty excited for Richardson if he's in the right situation.
I did not know which way you were going
to
lean there.
I didn't know you either. You looked like you were about to jump in.
No,
I had no idea which way. I think he's going to be a player.
I do too. There's a certain level of physical dominance that you have to cross. Like Malik Willis was a bad passing quarterback and was an exciting mobile prospect. Malik Willis does not have the athleticism that Anthony Richardson has.
Or the arm.
Right. The strength, the physical tools. Anthony Richardson is a bona fide superhuman.
I think he's going to be a top 10 pick.
He very well could. Certainly in the top 15.
This is a rookie quarterback out of Florida.
Out of Florida.
Which if he is drafted, I think in the top 15, he'll be the first Florida quarterback drafted that high in 52 years.
Right. I mean, Trask should have been, but I get it.
Yeah, Trask could have been 101.
It's very scary when his production profile is basically 1 year. Like, 1 year as a full season production. And then when you start throwing out the Josh Allen comps of like, don't do that. Like Josh Allen is such a fringe success story of incredibly raw, like just physically talented, just a terrible quarterback for two seasons, and then morphs and is surrounded by the right people to turn into a superstar player. Like that's not what happens.
I think Lamar is the better comparison. When you looked at Lamar as a passing talent, you worried about accuracy like you did with Richardson, but you saw the big arm and you saw the ability to get it downfield in select situations. And then you have this dynamic runner and this dynamic playmaker. And that's what, like, think about, where did Lamar go in the draft? 20?
He was 32. I thought he was the last pick. Last pick.
So, I mean, there were doubts, obviously, around Lamar Jackson.
Sure, but Lamar still had, I mean,
Lamar was multiple
years of 3,500 passing yards.
Yeah, Lamar was a much better college prospect for sure. He was a Heisman candidate.
Because he had a longer production profile.
I'm saying like he had 2 years where he had all of his rushing yards, where it was, I think he like outrushed Saquon Barkley in the college season and threw for 3,500 passing yards twice, where Anthony Richardson this past year was just over 2,500.
Right. No, that's fair. And yet Richardson is going to go higher in the draft.
He's a very interesting player. Yes.
Than Lamar did. I bring it up because Carolina's at 9. So that could be one of the quarterbacks that, they probably need to keep their draft capital, and he could be a target at 9. Mm-hmm. Denver, new head coach, we know it, Sean Payton, new offensive coordinator. Really a new whole coaching staff, top to bottom. But Joe Lombardi taking over on offense, but not really, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's a Sean Payton will be running that offense.
Yeah, I was not a fan of Lombardi as an OC, but I think this is a good situation for him because he's not in control of this offense. Sean Payton will be in control of this offense, and Lombardi has enough skills to be the guy that is the assistant to Sean Payton. So I don't
call in to have get the call from Payton and then send it in to
right.
the huddle.
Yeah,
he's got it covered.
He'll be like a research assistant. This is really exciting. Sean Payton has always had good offenses, and you say, well, Is that because he always had Drew Brees? Maybe. But
it's
what
a
we
big question.
I mean, that's a huge question. But I do believe that Sean Payton is a very, very, very good head coach.
You think he can increase their 32nd ranked points per game?
I think it will. They will not be any worse than that.
Or 28th in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, and that's the real big factor. Is I believe he's going to come in here and fix the running game. That's why we've talked about the running backs here. He mentioned that in his coaching search. He wants to get the running game going, and the Saints running backs as a core, sometimes there was a star like Kamara, and sometimes there was a committee, but as a team, they always were exceptional when it came to total rushing yards, yes. Total involvement in the passing game.
Running back fantasy points from his time in New Orleans, 3, 5, 1, 2, 13.
Oh,
one,
man, terrible.
1, 4, 2, 2, 2, 1, 2.
Almost always a top 5 in fantasy points to the running back position as a team.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, nowhere to go but up in Denver, that's for sure. But he has put together a staff. He is there for the long term. And he will, his presence will, by nature, tempt folks to buy into various pieces of the Broncos offense, likely to be maybe slightly disappointed instead of ultimately crushed like last year.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of people in your leagues that are absolutely in on Russell Wilson as a sneaky value, as Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. They're going to be 100% back in again. And you've got to decide whether you believe, I believe Sean Payton is good, whether you believe that he can fix the whatever ailments that Russell Wilson had. I will be on the side that I don't think he's going to fix Russell Wilson. I won't be in on drafting these pieces. I do view him as a good long-term fix. I mean, if Russell Wilson was my quarterback and I'm like, how can I make this offense better? Focus on the running game.
No question. Put him in a good position. Houston, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, DeMeco Ryans takes over. He was kind of, I think, the cream of the crop of this offseason head coaching search. You know, there were offers from Denver that were reportedly turned down for DeMeco Ryans, and he lands with the team he was a Pro Bowler with. And Bobby Slowick takes over at offensive coordinator. The Texans are a rebuild. I mean, they were 3-13-1. They have the most caps, or not the most cap space, sixth most, but $37 million. They got the number 2 pick. You know, he's in a pretty good position to give this team a new identity from the first snap of his first season, because it's very likely they'll have a brand new quarterback. That's the face of the franchise. They'll have moved past the Voldemort years. And we will have kind of something to look forward to. I think the Houston fans should be excited. I think you got a really good head coach. You know, you've got cap space and draft capital, and I think you're going to have, you know, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, you're going to have a new quarterback at the helm.
My biggest question, really, for the Houston Texans with the new guys coming in, it's what do they think about workload for a running back? Like that, because it's Damian Pierce here for the Houston Texans, and then. It's going to be really difficult to get excited about anybody, even if Brandon Cooks somehow is still on this team. But you have a rookie quarterback. Well, we know historically rookie quarterbacks don't support wide receiver ones. Yes, Brandon Cooks is very good, but it will just be a couple spike games here and there. There won't be anything truly consistent for any of the wide receivers of the Houston Texans. So it's, do they want to feature Damian Pierce in a three-down role? Do they want him to get more involved in the receiving game? And those, we don't have answers for those questions yet.
It's fair. Jason, anything to add on Houston?
Not really. We don't know much about their offensive coordinator. He was the passing games coordinator for the 49ers. That was after being kind of an offensive assistant. And that was just for a couple of years. He actually moved from the defensive side of the ball. It's TBD, and I don't think he's going to be able to do much with the offensive pieces there. So I'm guessing you'll have DeMeco Ryans as a hometown favorite. I've heard people talk about this is the second best thing the Texans have ever done, people around the organization. So I would imagine 2 or 3 years from now, after a little bit of failure because of the personnel, Bobby Slowick will be replaced, and they'll bring someone else in for offensive coordinator. DeMeco Ryans will still be there.
The Colts, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, Shane Steichen coming over from Philly. Great hire.
And
Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh, JBC!
He's back, baby!
You guys are big Jim Bob Cooter fans.
His name is Jim Bob Cooter. Of course we're fans.
Jim Bob is not as popular as it once was, I don't think.
Jim Bob is a terrible name. Jim Bob Cooter? I'm in.
I mean, you got that angle. You got the Junior Bacon Cheeseburger angle. Like,
oh, JBC?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just... And
what about the actual on-the-field stuff?
I don't really care. I just like to talk about Jim Bob Cooter.
Yeah.
I guess that was true of Guns Mahoney back in the day, too.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen's a great hire. This is the 30th in points per game. There's a theme here. Houston, 30th in points per game. Denver, 32nd in points per game. Steichen's an offensive mind. So when you look at the history of the defensive hires, they're going to have to figure out what's happening at the quarterback position. But, goodness, of all the teams, they have to figure it out. 8 different starting quarterbacks over the last 5 years. It is like a curse of Andrew Luck. It's like from that moment, I mean, you can look at it on the bright side. Colts fans have got to see different quarterbacks,
sure,
multiple per year.
A lot of experiences. And
what's amazing is that Jacoby Brissett would have been better than all of them.
To
keep him as your quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is like the Colts. Hopefully Baltimore is looking and just reviewing some history of what has happened to the Colts when you had a franchise quarterback. They didn't lose.
You mean that you drafted?
I'm saying
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, he left, so it's a different situation of arguing over money. But when you lose a franchise quarterback, things can go from bad to even worse to just a full-on dumpster fire where you have no idea when your team is going to be back on the up and up.
They are they're my leader in the clubhouse to take the number one pick away from Chicago.
Ooh, they would have to pay up.
And I think it's possible that Chicago could flip-flop with Houston and then trade down again.
That's as well. If Chicago pulls
the double-double.
If they double-dip, mm-hmm, move to 2 and then to 4, I mean, that's just get that GM an award.
Yeah, he'll need like a huge duffel bag to hold all the picks that they get from those two trades.
Yeah.
But Jim Bob Cooter, passing game coordinator last year in Jacksonville, did a great job. Eagles consultant in 21 and then Jets running back coach in 2019.
I mean, it's Shane Steichen's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steichen is the – Jim Bob Cooter is a great name. I don't think he's a great coach. His running game history has not been great, which is – I don't know how he got the Jets job. As the running backs coach after...
They probably just said you can't run in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Nobody could do that job.
I think they were 32nd, 30th, and high 20s. But then he goes to the Jets, and they were 31st and 23rd in yards gain. Obviously, there's a very important running back here for the Colts. You want Jonathan Taylor to be great, so hopefully Shane Steichen really is the man in charge. But he was the one of the Eagles coaches that us as Arizona Cardinals fans think we would have preferred.
He's really entering a contract
year.
Yeah,
Jay Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, it's year 4. It's year 4
for
him.
What a difference a year makes on how the number one overall dynasty pick feels.
It's contract year for Michael Pittman. I mean, they're going to have to make some big decisions.
I've been getting Jonathan Taylor at the very back of first rounds in some of these early best ball leagues.
That's wild.
10, 11, 12 sometimes.
Well, I think there's a lot of question marks. You don't have any stability here. It's brand new. And Shane Steichen might sound like a great hire, but you know what? I bet if he has a quarterback, he will be, and if he doesn't have a quarterback, he won't be.
Sure, and look at how the running backs are used up in Philadelphia. Like, I know they didn't have a Jonathan Taylor there, but some coaches just have a philosophy of I'm going to use a bunch of different running backs in a bunch of different scenarios, and what if Jonathan Taylor's not a 3-down running back for this team?
Goodness. Don't say that out loud. People out there have them on their teams. You're risking their very mental health.
They need to be aware of the risks.
He'll be a 3-down back.
He should be.
He will be. All right, I'm gonna read through the offensive coordinator changes, and then I want you guys to handpick.
You can stop at the first one.
I want you to handpick. What do you mean stop at the first one?
Mike wants to talk about the Baltimore Ravens new OC.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
I was just going to read through them all, and then that could be the one you pick out you want to talk about.
Okay.
Because we're not going to get through all of them in the same detail that you're going to get us into here with Baltimore.
Okay, go ahead.
Ted Monken replacing Greg Roman.
Todd.
What did I say?
Ted.
I went through it a little too quick. It definitely. All right.
And now we can stop.
Okay, fine. Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah.
Now?
I'm excited.
You need to talk about Todd.
Because
or as I call him Ted for short. Yeah.
You know, T Monk, he's going to run things for the Baltimore Ravens. They are going from the oldest of old school with
Greg Roman,
where it is established to an air raid offense coordinator. Now, what actually happens when Harbaugh is the one who is in control of the team, but they knew who they were hiring. Like they're hiring the guy who was in Tampa when we had the years of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston just slinging the ball all over the field and to a ton of success and some failure on Jameis Winston's part. But looking at, you know, the 3 years in Tampa Bay, 16th in attempts, third, fourth. If Lamar Jackson, if they can actually patch things up and Lamar Jackson is back and you have this team go from where they were in passing attempts up into just, you know, a top 12-ish, a top 15, it's just a top half passing attack. That would be so exciting for what Lamar Jackson would be for fantasy football.
The scary part is the interception totals in his four NFL years.
Yeah.
27, 20, 32, and 30. So the offense has not been, like, I look at that offense and I say, well, we don't have anybody to catch the football. Right? We don't have the quarterback under contract.
Well, Bateman will be back.
Right. But he's still a little TBD on
unproven
on his future.
I'd like to credit Jameis Winston with a lot of those interceptions.
I would too.
The ones from Cleveland?
Well, the ones from Cleveland, that was the Freddie Kitchens year. And that was when
he didn't throw the interceptions. The offense is, I mean, we know this from the Bruce Arians offense in the past as well. Like the offensive system, if you tell a quarterback that isn't great at throwing the ball in the seam to throw it there a ton, then you do get more interceptions.
Yes.
So you're enthusiastic.
I am. I'm excited to see what this team, because I agree that, their wide receiver room doesn't look great with Rashad Bateman as the de facto one. We're still not 100% sure he can be a true number one in the NFL because he hasn't had enough time to show us on the field. He looked okay in the few games that we had to start this year. They're going to add someone else. It's what level. And then if you really turn things into a more pass-oriented which that opens things up for Lamar Jackson to run even more because now he's dropping back, which turns into more scrambles. Just say I'm excited for the opportunity should they get everything figured out with the contract.
I'm more nervous, Jason. Where do you lay? Are you excited that they're making the change?
Yeah, I do think that the Ravens offense was getting stale. They talked about that around Baltimore, talking about how defenders kind of figured them out. They knew what their plays were going to be. It definitely seemed like a time for a change. Obviously, we need Lamar Jackson there for it to be relevant, assuming that he is playing football this year. I am excited to see what they can do because, like you said, not every quarterback can play in every system and throw the right seam ball. I think Lamar Jackson can. I think he's obviously an NFL MVP already. If he comes back and plays, I believe he has a better offensive system here this year than last year.
Dallas, Kansas City, Los Angeles, both of the teams, the Patriots, the Jets, the Eagles, the Buccaneers, the Titans, the Commanders, all new offensive coordinators. Dallas is a big one. They replaced Kellen Moore with Brian Schottenheimer, which is run, run, run some more historically.
Yeah, I mean, I believe this is going to be they replace Kellen Moore with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to run this offense a little bit more. But you're right, Schottenheimer is, you know, historically wanted to run the ball a lot. I'm actually more excited. There's two teams that I want to talk about from this list, and one is the absence of Kellen Moore and the addition for him for the Chargers. The Chargers getting Kellen Moore. The Dallas Cowboys offense has been, I think, really clever.
Yes.
It's well run. It's somewhat simple, and yet they disguise things. They run motion. They do a lot of great stuff to get guys open and in mismatches, and they've been a very prolific offense for the last several years under Kellen Moore. I am not a fan of what Lombardi has done over the last several years with the Chargers, with Justin Herbert, especially this last year. It was just the grossest looking offense. Maybe that's Herbert. Maybe he's just all of a sudden afraid to throw the ball down the field. But I think the offensive system sucked, and I believe that the new offensive system with Kellen Moore and Herbert, and hopefully Keenan Allen stays under contract, Mike Williams, I'm very, very excited for the offense for the Chargers with Kellen Moore as the OC.
And what's the second team?
Hold on,
before you move. Kyle, this is a Kyle special. Is this, you're 100% sure in this stat?
I'm 100% sure.
Games with 400-plus passing yards and 3-plus passing touchdowns in their career. Kellen Moore, 1. Justin Herbert, 0.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go in and dunk on that fool with that stat.
So it was, we got week 17 against Washington in 2015, 435-3 for Kellen Moore. Justin Herbert.
I remember that game.
You're Herbert. You better figure it out.
The other team I wanted to talk about is the New York Jets. They had what I viewed as a very good offense given bad quarterback play. I don't think the system was the problem for the Jets.
29th in points per game.
Yeah. No, I mean, they had horrific,
place of play.
Horrific quarterback play. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was all the system and Zach Wilson.
Seventh in pass attempts.
Should have been great.
Opportunity.
But they got Nathaniel Hackett, who just got fired in his 1 year go. And I don't know if there's validity to the fact that, you know, this is another chance to try and get Aaron Rodgers. Nathaniel Hackett was the OC with Rodgers during his two MVP years. And, you know, this is what the Broncos kind of did when they hired him. Hopefully they can get Rodgers. And so now they're, you know, the New York Jets are bringing in Nathaniel Hackett saying this time it'll work. That scares me because I don't know that he's great. I think he just had two good years with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is great. And sure, if the Jets are able to acquire Aaron Rodgers, which I think would be awesome for all parties involved, I hope that happens, then I'll like this hire. If not, I worry. I think this is a downgrade to their offense. I don't understand why they let their offensive coordinator go personally, and I believe that Nathaniel Hackett is not a great offensive mind.
It's been a mixed bag, his opportunities at offensive coordinator historically. Buffalo, Jacksonville, Green Bay, just one time with a passing offense that was top 10 in attempts in that time. So, you know, I think we expect the identity to be defense and running the football regardless.
Breece Hall.
With Breece Hall. But, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, obviously they made the determination the head coach was not the ideal position for Nathaniel Hackett, but his history since 2013 was enough for them to come in and bring him on board. There's a lot of TBD there in that offense. We don't know if it's going to be a Rodgers or a Carr or a Garoppolo or Mike White. So, Mike, do you have one of those teams? I mean, do we want to talk about the Chiefs?
Number two.
Are you talking about the budget magician is back?
Matt Nagy is back. He gets to stand next to the real magician, Andy Reid.
Yeah, so Eric Bieniemy moved on to Washington to hopefully prove his merit so he can be considered for a head coaching gig. I'm fine with this because it's still Andy Reid running the show. The larger, like, overall question for the Kansas City Chiefs is there, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a blurb kind of just tossed into the ether of they might be grooming Matt Nagy to take over for Andy Reid, who would be out in a couple years or so.
Reid is like 65, I think.
I don't know. We can look that up. But that, when that move happens, now I will have some concern for what is happening with the Kansas City Chiefs. Until then, it's like Shane Steichen. Like, I trust in Shane Steichen's offense. I trust in Andy Reid's offense. And Matt Nagy has worked well with him before.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have any problem.
You have history of Nagy as the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid succeeding. He was fifth in offensive yards, sixth in points scored, top 10 in rushing offense. And this was with Alex Smith and one game of Mahomes. So I'm not worried about any. Honestly, if they hired you, Mike, I'd be like, Andy Reid, Mahomes? Yeah, Mike's going to crush it.
It's kind of interesting that the Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, and Eagles all have new offensive coordinators, and all four of those offenses were the best in football. right? Like the Cowboys were fourth in points per game. Chiefs were number one. You know, the Chargers, they were 13, but they were fifth in pace of play, second in pass attempts, third in yards. You know, they needed a change, I guess. But then Philly, they're losing Shane Steichen.
Yeah.
Not by choice. Brian Johnson taking over. But they also were a well-oiled machine. And you expect that, you know, these head coaches can support these transitions, but doesn't always work out that way?
No, it doesn't always work out.
Something to be aware of.
Will Bill O'Brien work out as coming back home to the Patriots?
I think it's way better.
Absolutely.
Way, way better than what they've been dealing with.
Completely agree.
If it wasn't Bill Belichick that had put together the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia offensive coordinator duo, it would have been a topic of comedy for the just every single moment. Like, he gets all this credit because of what he's accomplished. But that was just tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive mind, Matt Patricia running the offense because he likes him.
Yeah, no, Bill O'Brien, he's had success in this role for this team. Obviously, Tom Brady is a big part of that, but he is at least an offensive mind. I like that he went to college and
is that the end of the
got
sentence?
A degree.
Yeah, got a degree.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, no, Bill.
But I like
now your parents are proud.
He went to Bama and, you know, as the OC the last
lived
couple years.
Lived on campus.
And, you know, I want to see what he brings to the NFL. We mocked Bill O'Brien, the general manager. Because he was
Rightfully terrible.
But I think he was actually he's run some good offenses.
Yes, he has.
I think he's a good coach. And I like this hire a lot for Mac Jones or whoever the quarterback is going for.
All right. That is going to wrap up today's Coaching Changes episode. Unless any other breaking news. Any new hires, Brooks, in the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, that'll do it. One final reminder, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew this, because I like you like to wait to the last minute.
Yeah, I'm a procrastinator.
The UDK is available right now. UltimateDraftKit.com, your last chance to get in there and get all of the pre-order bonuses, including a chance to play in the Listener League with us, which we will announce very soon. So go to UltimateDraftKit.com, equip yourself. You're going to do it anyway. Get in there. Get the
Dominate. Oh, boy.
Well,
I forgot about this,
Jim. Let it sink in, baby.
I did forget. A blast from the past. If that hasn't dissuaded you, UltimateDraftKit.com. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk soon. Another episode coming on Thursday.
We will see you then, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey there, thanks for listening to today's show. If you want a little bit more, a little bit extra, a little bit of that bonus material that I'm talking about, check out our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com.